The Forgotten Authors, Men Born Between 1850 to 1899, An Introduction. Throughout the long centuries of human history is the want and the need to share information, to exchange ideas, and for that knowledge and experience, for curiosity and learning, to be the basis of a civil society. In literature, the ambition is much narrower. In order to be known, to be popular, you had to be published. And for that, people had to know you existed and your ideas worth reading. Obviously, the most of humanity's time, people couldn't read and texts couldn't be published in any great number. In the 15th century, Gutenberg's printing press began the revolution to address the second, and by the 19th century had gathered pace with startling speed and mass distribution. Education for the many was brought in to help people understand more of their world and, with new skills, how to have a better place within it. Now, if the powers that own the presses and means of distribution agreed, an audience would now be able to avail themselves of your ideas, your printed words. Whilst male authors were the overwhelming majority of beneficiaries in having their work printed, time was their constant enemy. Your work could show immense talent, but if it was not to lure money into the coffers by gaining an audience of readers, then your career would be one of pleasing yourself and would be soon forgotten. But the printed word is rarely without someone somewhere busying themselves through piles of papers and books, rediscovering what a good story is, whatever its age. In this volume, we offer up a small selection of talents from the literary landscape of 1850 to 1899, and its male authors whose time has now come again.
The Scratch Company by Anna Alice Chapin. "Red ink?" asked Carla, raising the bottle and her eyebrows as she looked inquiringly at the others.
"Let us have a real Chianti," begged Dufresne. "Madame, 2 bottles of your best."
Fancini was looking at Carla with adoring eyes.
"What does it matter what we drink?" he said impatiently.
"Ah," said little Madame Berthe Kraumer whimsically, "but she has left no kiss within the cup. You must go thirsty for both, nicht?"
The 4 friends and fellow artists were celebrating the close of the opera season and their departure for the summer. The winter had been delightful, they agreed. Full of hard work, yes, that always, of course, but good work, interesting work. Carla had created 3 new roles and had had plenty of opportunity to sing her old favourites as well. Berthe Kraumer had been promoted to the singing of Delilah, a part for which, like most dramatic contraltos, she had yearned for many years. Dufresne and Fancini, incomparable basso and most glorious of tenors, had had some brilliant offers from royal opera managements on the other side. All of them had added to their bank accounts and, best of all, as Carla said, not one of them had disappointed an audience all the season. Now they were about to separate for 6 months. Dufresne was sailing a week later to take his royally conferred position in Europe. Madame Kraumer was hastening home to Austria, where a good housekeeping husband was mounting guard over her family of 6 children. Carla, for the first spring in years, was not going to leave her own country, but intended to spend several months visiting friends in the mountains and by the sea. Fancini, who worshipped her, had contrived to be asked to several of the same houses. This little farewell breakfast was her idea, of course. She was nearly always the guiding spirit in their merrymakings, as in their beauty.